got it. Okay. Yeah, let us stand and do the puja. So today is the 5th of September. 6th of September. Thursday class. Back to Sui An's sweet old place. Yeah, that's why that day Mifo asked me, next Thursday back to my house. I said yes. Very good. Okay, yeah.
My old friend, Teng.
Oh,
Teng.
Oh, Teng Leong.
Teng Hing's elder brother.
Oh, nice to meet you.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, the younger brother. Nice to meet you. You're most welcome. Yeah, the Buddha Rupang, I remember many years back. Sadhu to you. We really rejoice. Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. Oh, oh, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, the bulk of your career life, you are there. We rejoice in meeting out with you. You are most welcome. Join us, yeah. Ah, light the candle. You, because this is the first time you come, so we will give opportunity to people who just come. help us light the candle and the incense. Christina, go. Yeah, high tech. Oh, like oxy flame, yeah, yeah, sadhu, yeah. Sadhu, yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, okay. Make offering and then pass on, sadhu, sadhu. Pass on, pass on. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu means rejoice. Rejoice in the wholesomeness, in the goodness. Do. Sadhu. These are all offerings from the devotees. So we make offering to the Buddha. Sadhu. Yeah. And rejoice. Sadhu. 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 Okay, you all can visit that. And we will prepare for puja. There's a chanting book in front of you. Okay. let us develop the faith, the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall pay respect to the Buddha. We will chant the salutation. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Svakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Turn to page 1. We will chant the Vandana onward. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we are chanda padipa puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena matena cha hotu mokhang. Pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasabhavang. Adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Adivase tuno bante pale parika pitang Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tunobante bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now you are chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of pure, clear, cool water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith, constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferred merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings, especially to those conditioned and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect the Triple Gem. Padang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. Yeah? Just relax body and mind. Then maintain some form of attentiveness. We will have instead 50 minutes of meditation. Normally we have half an hour. So just now we use up about 20 minutes to answer some questions that I think Sister Tammy asked. They were very good questions. So anyway, we are off the light. Then you can have your 50 minutes of meditation. Oh, okay. I give you a short instruction for those who are new. Then later, I will give you the books. You don't have to remember anything. You just attentively listen. If you already know how to meditate, you got your own object of meditation, then you can proceed with your whatever meditation you are doing. The key to meditation is always remember. You must be in a state of relaxed, silent awareness. Don't go and concentrate or focus. Just relax, then maintain awareness or sati, mindfulness. Maintain a relaxed mind that is free, that is not in the state of concentration. You want to focus a bit, you can give it a try. Well, some of you may be used to this type of meditation. You have an object of meditation where you focus on it. But what the Buddha teaches is just mindful of it. like anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. The key to doing it is to develop the mindfulness of the in and out breath. So this is just to train your mind. Whatever object of meditation that you use is just to anchor your mind so that it does not heedlessly wander off, lost in thought. When you are mindful of the object of meditation, you will not think, because whatever object of meditation is always in the present moment. You have to be aware of it. Can be your breathing, or your rising and falling of the abdomen, or whatever object of meditation, except for those that develop concentration, especially kasinas. If you use the object of meditation, you have to be careful, because it develop jhanic factor, one-pointedness. So that one is not mindfulness training. So if you feel that it's suitable for you, you can use it, it's up to you. But I will explain later if you got any problem or question with regards to those type of meditation. Ultimately, you only need to relax and silence your mind and allow the silence to develop until it's very, very quiet, very still. That is the meditative mind that is in the state of, is in a free state. Means it's a free mind, not a conditioned state. So that mind by itself can be peaceful and quiet and relaxed. So if you can meditate and develop the type of mind, then you are on the right track. Okay. For those who don't have object of meditation, then I will teach you a skillful means. We call it mind sweeping method, to decondition whatever mental hindrance that you have temporarily, and also to help you decondition your heedless thinking. Well, most people, their daily life, they are not able to develop daily mindfulness. The spiritual faculties are not there, so the mental hindrance take over. It throughout the day you are actively arising the five mental hindrance of sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, or sleepy mind, lethargic mind, and also the restlessness of mind, and finally doubt. Then these are mental hindrances that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you cannot meditate. So to overcome this, you need to develop the opposite five spiritual faculty. They are Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. If you are new to Buddhism, not familiar, you have to read up a little bit. Then you can ask questions. I will explain to you what this thing is, so that you can develop them. But for the meantime, if you still want to meditate before you develop the spiritual faculties, then you have to use this skillful means which I will guide you now. You relax body and mind completely and silence everything. Don't think. Just relax, silent. Relax body and mind means, like when you are very tired, you just relax the body. Make sure that it's completely relaxed. Then your mind, when you relax, means don't go and worry about things. Don't carry whatever thought or problem that the thought wants to create for you. You just tell yourself, I'm here to meditate for about 15 minutes. So let me have the peace. So let me have this window to silence my mind, to develop the peace within the quietness, the stillness, and the silence. Then when the mind don't hold on to anything, it is free, it's relaxed, then whatever thought that is there, it will slow down on its own. You just let it be. Whatever thought arise will pass away, so don't give it any meaning. just relax and silent. Then observe if the silence just away. And you will develop the understanding. The meditative mind will come. The mind sleeping matter is to help you develop the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So what you do is relax body and mind, silence everything. Then close your eye, maintain attention at your forehead. Just feel whatever that you can feel within your forehead, muscles and all those things. If there's any tension, any tightness or stress within, you just relax. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you sweep your mind down to your eye muscle. Again, feel and relax into it. Then sweep it down further to your facial muscle. Feel it. Feel that each and every strand of your facial muscle is in a state of relax. Just sweep it down until you feel really relaxed. Then to help you develop the relaxation more, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy, there is happiness. And naturally, your mind will relax because there is just joy and happiness. There is no tension or stress at all. You are not unhappy. You don't have problem. That's why radiate a radiant smile and allow the mind to settle down. Then you can radiate love and metta. First, by radiating to yourself, you can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Well and happy. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May there be peace, may there be calm, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can radiate this same loving kindness or metta to your loved one. May all my loved ones do be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states do be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their body and mind do be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts too. Then you extend this love and metta to all beings. May all beings within the vicinity of Subhangjaya, fellow meditator, Kayanamitas, all the non-humans within this vicinity and the house, Dhamma protectors, and all beings throughout the entire Selangor State, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, and the whole of the solar system. Then all beings within our galaxy. Then all beings extending to all beings within our Milky Way. Extending all the way to all beings within the entire universe. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. As you radiate, you must feel it. Feel the well-being and happiness in their hearts and your heart. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their body and mind too be free from suffering, all form of suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their body and mind too be free from all harm and danger. May there be peace, may there be calmness and joy deep within their hearts. Then by now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. You can come back to your facial muscle, feel. Just relax, feel. Then you sweep it down to your neck, feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder. Then you move your awareness or mindfulness down to your heart area. Just silence everything and feel. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. You just stay there, silence everything, relax and just maintain awareness. But if you are new, you haven't developed the ability to be mindful and you are not sensitive, then it's okay. You can just feel your heart area like you feel your forehead. Just feel. Then relax into it. Feel that every part is relaxed, soothingly relaxed. Then you sweep it down to your stomach. Feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Then your leg, feel, relax. Then you can reverse this cycle. Feel your leg, relax. Then buttock, feel, relax. Then move it up, your attention to your abdomen, feel, relax. Do the same for the stomach, then go back to your heart area. Then silence everything and just feel and relax everything. Then you move it up to your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder. Then neck, feel, relax. Then sweep through your facial muscle again. Feel and relax. Then your eye muscle, feel, relax. Then your forehead, feel, relax. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can develop stability of calmness, peacefulness, or mindfulness that you have developed. So to do this, you need to anchor your mind to something. The Buddha recommended anapanasati. Anapanasati means mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So you just silence your mind, maintain attention at your nostril. Then whatever breathing that occurs, just let it be. Let it arise and pass away naturally. Breathe naturally. Then you can maintain awareness. When the mind is aware of the breathing in, then like the Buddha's instruction, breathing in, just aware, means the breath and the awareness move as one. Then again, breathing out, aware. Just develop this training. Initially, you are not familiar, you have not developed the skill or the ability, then it's not easy. You will realize split second, this mind will wander off. It will not be able to maintain the mindfulness of the in and out breath. But don't worry. If you have not trained, you have not done it before, if you don't have your special gifted ability from your past life, then chances are you need to train. So to train is very easy. Every time the mind wanders off, bring it back. Go back to the in and out breath. Then continue to train. So this is the basic foundation or initial training of the mind to be aware, to be mindful. First is aware and mindful of the in and out breath. Then as you continue to develop this, if you are patient, within 5 to 10 minutes you will settle down. Then when it settles down, you will feel very good because your mind becomes very calm, very peaceful. You will experience a type of spiritual calmness that they call piti. Piti is a type of spiritual calmness leading to spiritual joy. Or sometimes they use the word rupture. You will rupture into a type of joy. So this happens because the mind is not thinking, it's just aware. That's why without thought it's very calm, very peaceful. So when this happens, stabilize it and relax into whatever mind state that arises. If we start to absorb or become peaceful, concentrated or what on its own, just let it be. But continue to relax into it, silent. Then as you do that, this PT will transform, become more refined. And you will experience another type of mind which is very blissful. They call it Sukhang or Sukhang. Sukha is blissfulness of mind. The mind becomes much more calm, much more refined, and you experience a type of blissfulness that will make you feel very good, very blissful. Yeah. Then you can be engulfed in that bliss if it really happens. Then you continue to relax into it and silent until the mind slows down, the breathing slows down, until everything becomes very quiet, like no more breathing. That is your silent mind, pasati in Pali. Or they call it the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. So this is your true mind, your meditative mind, your silent mind. So this is the mind that you supposed to develop, then stabilize it and use it to meditate. Okay, now I'll let you meditate on your own. And I will sound the alarm in about 5 minutes time. Just relax body and mind. Then mindfully, slowly come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the trained mind state that you need to develop to live life, to go into the daily life. You have to develop the daily mindfulness in the midst of life, when you can maintain the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness to go about understanding the daily mindfulness and do your daily chores. If you are working, go into your career life. Otherwise, go into life. That is the real meditation. Meditation is never apart from life. If it's apart from life, it's not meditation. We develop meditation is because we want to develop the wisdom, the understanding, so that we can understand life, so that we can fit into life, so that we will not have any problem in life. To develop enlightenment or awakening is to be free of all suffering. If we can be at peace at all time, any place, any time, anywhere, under any whatever condition or situation that requires a lot of wisdom. Without wisdom, you cannot be at peace. Peacefulness of mind comes from understanding. The other type, which is a conditioned state born of energy field, psychic or concentration, that will also give you peace, but that type of peace is not the real peace. It's just a temporary conditioned mind type of peace. So the real meditation is about developing true wisdom and understanding. Understanding with regards to the way things are, nature's truth, nature's law. When we awaken to them, our mind understands, then we will not have any more problem. Then we will know how to live life. Then life becomes meaningful, beautiful. Then we can get to avoid all the negativity of mental condition that brings about suffering. Through understanding, through wisdom, we don't have to suffer. We don't have to be afflicted. Our mind can remain at peace, at ease, under all situations. This is not easy to develop. But the ultimate aim of all cultivators is to develop that type of understanding and peace. Then, like I started earlier on with a story on the famous monk Xu Yun, 120 years old. He passed away at the age of 120. He is one of the very famous Zen master. He is also a patriarch of the Mahayana tradition. His lineage is from Bodhidharma, and it all linked back to Sakyamuni Buddha, the Sammasambuddha that arose 2600 years ago. So this is very important. Xu Yun, he came to understand finally after he awakened the whole of the practice of Buddha Dhamma. He told the empress, he told the high officials, or ministers. He said the real Buddhist cultivation is just to develop the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma leading to wisdom. They cultivate virtue and wisdom, nothing else. Not to develop all the psychic and touch all the psychic. That will lead you nowhere. And don't be foolish. Psychic will bring about problems, side effect and all those things. When you develop psychic, there is no real cultivation, evilly you astray, you will bring about negativity of karma. Without wisdom, you touch psychic, it will cut you like the sword. It's a double-edged weapon. It can help you to kill and fight with people, but it can also harm you, hurt you, and bring about misery. All of this will not lead to understanding, will not lead to peace. It will lead to more and more conflict and misunderstanding. And it will bring about a condition to lead the cultivator astray. So this part is very important. Okay, now turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and releases Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Yeah, Ingbi. You chant the Pali, huh? Yeah.
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Satamang Munira Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam
Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho Vijacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manosanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi paseko opanayiko Pachyatang veditadbo Venohiti Supatipano bhagavato Saukasango Ujupatipano bhagavato Sāvakasāṅgho Nyāya patipanno bhagavato Sāvakasāṅgho Samici patipanno bhagavato savakkasangho adidang chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakkasangho Ahuneyo, pahuneyo, dakineyo, anjali karaniyo, anutarang punya ketang lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Tripaja. Badang Pajami. Damang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay, you can be seated. Huh? Then just relax body and mind, maintain some form of attention, and we will continue your second session is reporting of meditation. Then you can also ask question, followed by whatever meditative question regarding the meditation or the teaching. You can also ask about your daily problem, how you can apply this teaching, the Buddha Dhamma, to help you understand life and resolve all your life situation or problem that you encounter in life. Okay, you just have to raise your hand, then we will pass you the mic. Therefore, meditation reporting is very simple. You just report exactly what you do in the last 15-20 minutes of meditation. Then you can ask question. Okay? Anybody? Just put up your hand. Nobody as usual. Still very quiet and very shy. Or is it everything understood? After so many years attending so many of these sessions, I think by now most of you are familiar with what meditation is, except those who are new. You don't want to report your meditation, then you can ask questions. Tell me, yes. She got a lot of good questions. On the switch, push it sideways. Yes. They use the bulb, the speaker. Yes.
I got a question. It's about how to. It's like human relationship.
Okay.
It's not about meditation.
Yeah. Human relationship. I better write it down. Yeah. Continue, yeah.
Okay.
What is it that you want to know?
Because I just started this job.
Yeah.
And how is it? It's like because I did this job before, so I know how it works. Like 2 years not working, so the memory was not really clear.
Yes.
But basically, you know how it works.
Correct. You have been exposed to it, early on. So after 2 years, you come back. So what is your question?
So it's like this person. Last time, I used to teach this person, but now when I come back, at first I was really curious why this person keep on calling me back. You know.
And
then actually at the end is that I need to help her.
Oh, okay.
But when I want to help, then how to say, like, she is a different personality with me, and then, like, she is very good in human relationship, but it's like the chords we need to do, like,
you're more systematic type, huh?
That kind, but
is good at human relationship, or we call it, she know how to communicate with people, we call it right communication. So right communication is very important. Communication.
So the thing is, so at the end, I feel that when she tried to pass her stuff to me, I noticed that she don't really have like a idea, like, you know, don't have like what step by step. Then I feel a bit confused, and then so that time I was also having some anger. I just told my superior that it's better that she can sit in when we are I mean, like, according to our rule, because that time you say something like you don't argue, you just follow the rules, right?
So you just
follow the rules that when you transfer a knowledge to a person, then I just tell her that you better give me the step by step. She don't want, and then when she knows that I've spoken to my superior about that, she was total anger.
Not happy, huh?
So
this is what human relationship is all about. So we call this human behavior. So human behavior is another area, not easy. So you need to understand human behavior. Sometimes they call it the behavioral science. R, is it? Correct spelling or not? Or no U?
Got you.
Okay.
At that time,
so what happened when she get angry and unhappy after knowing what you have done?
I kind of felt that I got being boycotted, you know.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
That time was really
so you can
stressful.
Feel that she doesn't, he or she doesn't like you anymore.
She
is more cold towards you.
Not only cold, like simple thing when you ask her, she was like.
Reluctant to cooperate. Is to show her anger unhappiness over what happened. That is normal human behavior.
Those friends that the last time I used to make, they kind of a bit weird towards me. That time I was really upset because I don't know what to do. Right?
Yeah, because also, you are also a human being, a staff there. Like I used to tell people, you are also a human being with tissue and cells, and so you also have feeling, and you also have emotion. So whatever people do before you have the Dhamma, you will be affected. That's why you also have that emotional reaction or what they call unhappiness being vented out.
But I don't know whether it's good or bad at that time. At that moment, it's like I just
explain what actually happened first.
I just do what I can do. When she passed the things, we don't want to teach much. So I need to explore myself. Luckily, I did. I mean, like, basically, I had an idea. So I need to do everything. And then it also good that last time she used to come and talk to
me and
do my thing. But now I have a lot of time for myself. And that's why I told you before, like I went to meditate during lunchtime, no one would disturb me. So even it's a good and bad like that.
I wanted to understand that
we don't have any carry forward karma or something.
So the next thing is you want to understand how it is going to manifest, manifest in terms of karma.
And how to overcome.
How it is going to manifest in terms of karma.
And also make peace with.
How it is going to manifest in term of karma. Oh, karma. And how to apply the Dhamma. How to apply the Dhamma in this situation. How to apply the Dhamma in this situation. So if you list them out, basically you will know what to do. Because most practitioner, cultivator, they don't know how to list things out. Because they are not clear about the Dhamma. But when you have that training, the meditative wisdom and understanding, when all this has stabilized, you don't need to write out, you know what to do. So now we go into all this. What you have bring out is very good. It's a very typical job situation in the office. Understand? So you have been meditating, cultivating for so long. What you have to develop as understanding so that you can integrate your career situation with the Dhamma you have. And then you are able to resolve all this. Then all these questions that you ask, you will know the answer yourself. You see, first it's about human relationship in the office environment. Because yours is in the office. So it's related to your career. Then you know you need to have right communication. Understand? To develop the ability to actually perform and bring about proper human relationship so that you will not cause any karmic negativity. So that it will bring about harmony, understanding, peacefulness, love. So what you need to do is, you yourself must apply the Dhamma to achieve all these things. And how can you apply the Dhamma? The Dhamma is very simple. The Buddha said the essence of his teaching is the Four Noble Truths. You remember? The Four Noble Truths. What is the first Noble Truth? The Four Noble Truths. From here, your answer will come. Because when you understand this, you like understand the secret of life. You know how to live life. And you know how to overcome all your problems of life. So first Noble Truth is Noble Truth of suffering or dukkha. Noble Truth of dukkha or suffering. Like you say, when he get she get angry, when you get angry, when you become emotional. So this is stress, this is suffering. So you have to recognize them. The Buddha said there are 8 types of suffering. Like just now Xu Yin, he explained to the higher official. He said, nothing to do with psychic. This 8 type of suffering, you have to understand. The first 4, birth, old age, sickness and death, they are common to all living beings. And nobody can escape from it. No matter who you are. Finally, these are the reality of life and existence. That's why when they talk about psychic, when they talk about having the psychic so that nothing can harm them, means tao qiang pu zuo, means knife and sword and even gun or weapon also cannot kill them. Archery and whatever. But he said there is no such thing. Because this human form is made of element, goes away of nature. The organ, they are very fragile, very delicate, very easily destroyed. So this first number two talk about the 8 type of suffering. So the Buddha explained like Xu Yin, he said the first 4 you cannot escape. But your suffering has got nothing to do with the first 4, isn't it? Correct or not? Nothing to do with birth, old age, sickness and death, isn't it? So, the 5th one is what? The 5th type of suffering. associate with the one that you don't like, huh? A little bit there. Huh? Means career problem. Ah, yes. Ah, okay, no problem, no problem. You can go, yeah. No problem, yeah. Thank you for joining, yeah? Sadhu. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You go, don't worry, yeah. Sadhu, yeah. The fifth one is when you are with people whom you don't like. So in this case, it's not really when you are with people whom you don't like. It's more towards you have a colleague, yeah, that also don't have the Dhamma. Then he or she approach you for certain aspect of the job, means need your help and other things. But because you perceive her that way, and believe that it is better for her to come to you, discuss the thing, yeah, then learn. That is your perception of what your colleague is and how you want to deal with the situation. And you also think that it's best to report to your superior so that your superior knows what you are doing. And maybe your superior can help you to instruct her to meet up with you and develop all this. Yeah. But it turned out negative. That's enough. So when it turned out negative, the fifth one will start to arise. When you are with people whom you don't like, but he don't listen, she don't listen to you, understand? And to her, you also fail to understand her. There is nothing about right and wrong here. Right and wrong brings problem. So it's a situation that arises through two different personality that understand things differently, perceive things differently. That's why there is conflict. Yeah. And that one is the seventh one. When you cannot get what you want, that is suffering. Okay? Yeah. So when you are with people whom you don't like, so this one will start to appear. That's all. Yeah. Then separation. Separation from loved one. Yeah? Separation from your price, possession, and all those things. Yeah. So these are nothing to do with separation from loved one. Yeah? Nothing to do with separation from price, possession. So mainly fifth and seventh. Yeah? But of course, the eighth one covers everything. Yeah? In short, it is due to your self-delusion that condition you to attach to the five aggregate of form and mind. Okay? Five aggregate means what? First one is physical form, rupang. Okay? Yeah, you perceive that human form, your colleague. Okay? When you have a perception of her, means you already have a attachment to that perception. You understand now? So, the first aggregate of form and the third aggregate of sanya, perception, where you perceive her that way. And likewise, she did the same to you. Then your feeling is affected. You become emotional, like you say. Sometimes when she come and do this, when you know that she gets angry when you report to your superior or what, you yourself also not happy. Understand? So that emotion is feeling. When you attach to that emotion, which is part of feeling, you will be affected. That's why suffering will arise. Yeah. Then of course the fourth one is sankhara. Sankhara is your views, your opinion, your mind states, mental states and all those things, mental emotions. So all these are part of suffering because you attach. Yeah. Then the last one is consciousness. When you are conscious of what is happening through your seeing consciousness, you perceive, you attach. Through your hearing conscious, you perceive, you attach. Through your whatever consciousness. So it may be through your thought process, through memory, like last time what she did to you and all those things. So all this is consciousness. Then you perceive and you attach. As long as you hold to this five aggregate of form and mind, the Buddha say that is the cause of suffering. So how can you reverse all this? So you go to the second noble truth. Second noble truth explain to you the cause of suffering. Cause of dukkha. basically is attachment caused by craving. Okay, you have gone through. So now you are a meditator, you are a cultivator, you know this is the cause. But have you really meditated on it? Have you really reflect, contemplate? Then be mindful of what happened. This is the part where a lot of cultivators never do. Because they only attach to the knowledge, the theory. Yeah lah, noble truth was suffering. I know what suffering, he can tell you. But he didn't contemplate, reflect. And the cause also, he didn't go into the five aggregate. He didn't see how he attached to the form, then the perception of the form, then the feeling, the consciousness, and the sankhara. Sankhara is your views, your opinion, your mind state, your conditioning, and all those things. Yeah. In fact, feeling and perception are part of sankhara too, the content of consciousness. Yeah. Then the last one is consciousness itself, vijnanam. So consciousness can come from seeing, hearing, thinking. These three, though, very powerful. The rest, tactile, taste, smell, they are not so powerful. Unless it involves your food, the environment, and all those things. Otherwise, the three doors, seeing, hearing, and thought process. So after you understand these two, you reflect, you contemplate, and you have developed the clear understanding that is due to your this attachment. So you go to the third noble truth. What did the Buddha say? Suffering need not be. Understand not? Means all this can end. Suffering need not be. Because nibbana or cessation or suffering can be realized. Cessation can be realized in the here and the now. Then number four is the path that leads to the end of suffering, and this is Noble Eightfold Path. That's why all of solution come from this, the path that lead to the end of all suffering. Noble Eightfold Path leads to end of all suffering. So once you have this, you got no more problem. So what is the Noble Eightfold Path? First power factor is what? What is right view with regards to what? First, law of karma. That's why you ask here, how it is going to manifest in terms of karma. Means you know. You reap what you sow. Understand now? So with that right view, you will never create any negativity or thought. Whatever you did to that colleague or person is karmic. It has its implication. You get angry, emotional, or what? It will hit back. So what should you do? When you have that right view, you will avoid all negativity, advice of the Buddha. Then develop wholesomeness. Means you want to resolve whatever situation or problem that arises amicably so that you are not harmed, she is not harmed. Understand? That's how Noble Eightfold Path comes about. So when you have right view, you become different. So you have to approach the situation from love and compassion. If I have love and compassion, I will do it differently. I will not allow my ego to take over and perceive my colleague with negativity. If I am busy, I can tell the colleague that I am busy. Understand? We have my wife's sister in Singapore, he also got the same problem. Her one is slightly different from yours. She just joined that new company. Then they know she's quite good, quite hardworking. Then this colleague, he's very lazy, according to her, the sister. Come in at 10 or 11 o'clock, go back at 5 o'clock. But he complained he cannot finish. He got a lot of work, he said. Then he want to pass the work over to my sister-in-law. Understand? And my sister-in-law, as usual, complained. You come in at 10 and 11, go back at 5. I work until 8, 9 o'clock. You someone want to pass the work over to me. Then she know about karma too. Yeah? My wife always advise her. And she don't want to antagonize that colleague. Yeah? Then he said, but if I take it out, I got problem, is it? My work cannot finish. Yeah. So what are you going to do under this type of situation? That's how you have to apply the way of opa. So when you have right view, it doesn't mean that in order to avoid hurting people, harming people, you don't take action. You can take action, but with understanding. With wisdom. Well, you are not there to create negativity, to harm that person or to make that person angry. You are there to train him, understand? To make him or her understand so that they can improve themselves. Because career-wise, if you are more senior, you're supposed to guide. So out of love and compassion for the colleague, if I can help, I will help. But I will tell them, let me finish my work first. Because my work is from the boss, priority. When I have time, when I'm free, I'm willing to help you. Understand? Then you come at what time? Understand? Provided you really have the time. Otherwise, you say, if you want to ask me simple thing, then I can advise you what to do. But if this thing you need to get me to help you to work it out, then it's not simple. Understand? It demands time. Then you have to allow time. You have to work according to what I can do and advise you. So from this right view, you will apply the right thought. Right thought means what? No negativity. Understand? No negativity. You will not have the thought that you want to be sarcastic, teach him a lesson. All this thought cannot. Understand? Then right speech is right communication. Understand? So this one come under Noble Eightfold Path. So right communication include your right speech. And now, modern speech. Email. Understand? Right speech, right email. What else? WhatsApp. Now more and more things. The one important thing about email and WhatsApp is you must know how to write it nicely. Understand? Just like the way you communicate, talk to people. People feel good. Understand? All this you need to learn. That's why the four right effort. The right thought, right speech, and right action, they are still not in you. So what is the Buddha's meaning when he said right speech? What are right appropriate speeches? You have to understand. What are they? Gentle, pleasant, and good speeches. Understand now? That bring about understanding and harmony. That's how you should speak. Then no more. And this is a training, no? So that the Noble Eightfold Path is really a part of you. Otherwise, I can tell you, your habitual tendency will come back. But that is the usual way you tell people off. Understand? Because there is the ego there. And this subtle ego you cannot see. This guy, tell him, explain to him so many times, he's still like that. Next time he comes, I'm going to let him have it. So this is all behind. And this comes from what? The habitual tendency. Because last time, this is what you do. Then sometimes, you kena from people. Understand? Last time my boss also teach me this hard way. Now this guy just came in, you think he will have it. Easy way out. No. So, different people will do it differently. Understand? They recall their past, the memory. Then through the memory, they act. They don't act according to wisdom, Noble Eightfold Path. So, Noble Eightfold Path is the guiding principle. From right view, I will have right thought, right speech, right action, means no negativity. Everything is right, wholesome, appropriate, useful. So this one is a big field of training, the four right effort. The right speech, right action, and right thought, they are still not in you. I have to arise the right effort to develop them. Then I have to arise the right effort to refine upon it and perfect it so that it become a part of me. Then all the wrong speech, wrong thought, and wrong action, I have to abandon it, understand not? If it's already a reason, I abandon it. Then later on, when I have the mindfulness and the wisdom, I can prevent it from arising. Because you know, this one, habitual tendency, points toward negativity, the old way. So when you apply Noble Eightfold Path, you become different. Then when you are mindful and aware, again you are different, because you know what constitutes evil. That's why those who don't cultivate mindfulness, heedfulness, they cannot develop the Dhamma understanding. They have only knowledge. It's just like Xun. Just now I give the sharing, because it's not recorded, I will repeat it. He was asked this question. Initially, he was busy repairing temple, you remember? He went all over China. Then after he did, he traveled all over the world. He went to Nepal, he went to India. He went to even Sri Lanka, Nalanda, everywhere. Even Asia and all those countries. Then he went back to China. That time he not enlightened yet, but he did a lot of things in the name of Dhamma. And you know why he take the 3-step one bhavana? Very good. Gratitude towards their parents because they really suffer. You know where did he go wrong or not? He started his cultivation wrongly. And he end up miserable. Maybe I tell the whole story. Then I come back to the psychic. Remind me. Otherwise, I don't know why I hate for all those things. You see, what happened was he was born. Like you say. When he was born, I think it was a rock. Or what? Bakwan. Then the mother panicked. Thought something bad. Means like a ball of meat or smash or what flesh? A meatball. Then one wise man or what came along and delivered it. Then he came up like Sun Wukong, born out what rock? What is it? Molten rock or lotus? I don't know what. I also. Rock. So all this come out from Bhagwan or Rokwan, got his potential. So what happened was, he naturally has a lot of kindness. He can't even see birds or insects or any of these animals get killed or harmed. So when he was young, he was very kind, very compassionate. Then people cannot understand him. Then he always with the grandmother, where the mother died early. The grandmother chant, a lot of chanting Mahayana. Then the grandmother gave him a pendant, Kuan Yin. He said, "Is this my mom?" He said, no, this is Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. And then he said, "Who is Kuan Yin Bodhisattva?" So the grandmother gave him a book on all the virtue of Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. I don't know what is the Mandarin word already. Then later on, he received all these books, Diamond Sutta, Heart Sutta, and all this thing. And his father was very angry at him. So he was reading all this sutta, and he doesn't mix with other people. He liked it. Then he liked to make friends with monk only. He don't like to make friends with ordinary childhood only. Then the father cannot tolerate because he was the only son. Without him, no descendant. And to the Chinese at that time, chitoy is very, very difficult to accept. And the father is a great government official, a very high level guan. So because of that, the father every time scold him. Then finally got no choice. He wanted to become a monk since young. He went to the temple, so the father got to go and send the soldier or the army to bring him back. Then finally got no choice. Asked the grandmother to help and fix the marriage. Between all the royalty. So, two wives. He's supposed to marry two wives. In order not to have argument, you know what they did. Both wives also come in same time. So, no big, no small. No number one, number two, no. Both together. So, the other two officials also agree because the father is very high ranking. But they know this Xu Yun want to become monk. So when the news went out, these two other officials who has the daughter actually reluctant to allow their daughter to be married to Xu Yun. But somehow because of condition, he was forced to marry. Then he married both. Then he tell the two wives, I cannot sleep with you. We are married in name only. So they never sleep for 2 years. And he did all these things without knowing that it was wrong. Well, he thought, I want to renounce, I want to become a monk. And this is supposed to be very virtuous, very noble. Yeah. So that's why he finally, after 2 years, his the other cousin brother managed to locate a temple where his father cannot find him. It's outside of his county, his father's control. So they went to that don't know what temple. So finally they get to renounce there. I think Fujian, the temple we visited. Kusan, yes, Kusan. He went there. Yeah, Yongchen Si. Yongchen Si, yeah, Kusan. He was there. And this abbot there, he knew, he tested them. He said, you young people don't have this fascinated idea of becoming monk. You think becoming monk easier? So he purposely don't want. And this Xu Yun was so determined. He knew in front of the temple door, 3 days, 3 nights, until he fainted. Then the abbot knew he got this, what they call virtue and the strong mind. So accepted him and ordained him. The cousin brother also ordained. And you know what he did in the temple? He just focused on meditation until not enough strength, not enough sleep. Well, in the Mahayana temple, you got to carry water. Yeah? And he is a high-ranking minister's son, never work on, never do all these things. So how can he tolerate all these things? So that's why he become very weak. Then luckily the monk that is in charge of them, he knew, is it? He said, I was like you, high-ranking official son, never do this. He said, the first 6 months, I also subject this body to a lot of torment like you. He said, don't worry, slowly, slowly learn. He said, then Xu Yun finally passed. And full-fledged ordaining the monk, because the abbot said, after 1 year, you pass the training, I ordain you. Yeah. Then finally, the wife managed to locate him where he's one of the wife got Dhamma and can sense where he is. He came to Kusan. And you know what he did? He ignored the wife, refused to even meet up to talk to her. One last meeting, refused everything. Until one day he was, I think, disciplined by the monk that tell him to go and kneel in front of the Buddha and do your what they call chanhui, repentance and all things. And they got a rule, when you do that, you cannot talk to an outsider, especially a lady. But the disciplined monk didn't know that it was the wife. So the wife plead, he said, last night I wrote you a message. You're supposed to meet me, you never come. So the wife waited until the next morning, Tingam. Then when he waited for him to be alone, then he approached and talked to him. Again, he refused to talk to her, he said, and call her by Si Zhu, means like I'm already a monk. You please accept that reality and don't come and disturb me. And because of what he did, finally the wife went back and disclosed where he was to the father-in-law. And the father-in-law sent the army there. And the abbot knew, I cannot keep you. Otherwise this temple all gone. So he was forced to run into the mountain, the cave. He was there for 6 years. And he taught Dutanga practice. He meditated until he got all the psychic. And you know what happened? One day, after 6 years, his hair, everything very long. He thought he already got certain type of enlightenment or success. Then he was lying on the grassland reciting this beautiful poem. So then there was a very wise man. I think he is the monk, the abbot, somewhere near the mountain there. Then he replied his poem. The moment he replied, this Xu Yin knew already, he is far from enlightenment. He is not doing the right thing. Then after that, he spoke to the old man. That man was a monk, actually. He disguised into an old man. Then this old man told him, you go to this temple, look for the abbot. He can help you. He said, you have been wasting your 6 years in the cave. This is not the way to cultivate. He said, the real Dhamma is in the midst of life and society. You cannot just seclude and do all those things. You still don't have the real Dhamma. That's why he went and see. Then go through the training again. He explained to the monk what he did. And the monk tell him all. He said, the real Dhamma is you must have right duty. You remember? Right duty. The four qualities of an enlightened being, noble disciple of the Buddha. Of right conduct, good conduct, right duty, and right wisdom. So that part he didn't understand. He didn't do. He said, your duty as a son, filial piety and all those things. Your duty as a husband. You married them, understand? No? You never do them. No? You cause them so much suffering. That's why after that, when he learned the true Dhamma, when he understand, before he left that temple, he vowed to repay the debt of the parent and the wife and all. That's why he took the 3-step one vow. No? You know where he started? Putosan. Putosan to Utaisan. Where Wenshu is either, if I'm not wrong, is 5,000 over. They call what? That distance, Li. Wu Qian Li. No. In the show, it's about Qian Li. Hey, you take flight, you know. What is their Li? Not miles. Li is not mile in China. Pulu. But my mother always say, Kito Pulu. How many steps you walk on? They got their own calculation. And in that show, after he walks a certain distance, he tell the young monk, he said, we still got 3,000-4,000 that Li to go, to cover. So finally, he did it, to repay his parents' debt. And he, to him, is this is the suffering and endurance that you need to develop. Then when he reached Utaisan, okay. Ah, good. Ah, thanks, Tammy. Ah, good. Sweet, very good. Battery flat. So we continue. So what happened was when he reached Utaisan, finally he reached. He met a monk there, and the monk tell him, "Why did you do all this? This is not cultivation. This is another form of Dutanga practice." But after Xu Yin explained, he said, oh, okay, your way, okay. Yeah, he wants to repay the parents for what he has done to them. The father died, miserable, not able to see him and get him back, and no no descendant at all, those things. And the father, towards the end, after he retired, when he went back to his hometown, on the way, he knew he went to that mountain, but the soldier cannot find him in the cave. So he went to the mountain and shouted out to the son, Xu Yin. And Xu Yin heard, because in a meditative state, he can hear. But he was with the wrong view. You know what he said? I cannot see you, he told the father. But he didn't speak to him. He just speak like to nature. If I see you, I may not become a monk again. He said, I may follow you home. But that was wrong view. You know? Because your right duty, this form and mind, subject to karma, has a duty. Understand? So what he did to the parent and the wife, in future, if there is condition, he will come back. Understand? So this is something that is to be understood. That's why Xu Yin learned. That's why after that, he gave up psychic. He knew psychic is not the way. That's why finally this monk, before he came out and did the three-step one bow, told him, the real Dhamma is to realize the true mind, Ming Xing Jian Xing. Means the mind, the mind. Yeah? When you are able to awaken to your true mind, you will see your own nature. Yeah? That is what Hui Ning's teaching is all about too. Finally, is to go direct to your true mind, your true nature. Because from here, everything arises. That's why all Dhamma are not apart from that nature. So because of that, he said, if whatever meditation you do, you cannot realize the cessation of form and mind, Ming Xing Jian Xing, to realize your true mind, you are not on the right path. Means you don't have mindfulness, you don't have awareness, you don't know what that cessation is, you don't know what that nature is, and you don't understand that all duality, sun, earth, means wholesome and unwholesome, arise from that nature. And you don't know what constitutes evil and wholesomeness. You cannot develop the mindfulness to be aware, to meditate and all those things. So all the psychic, no use. You don't have the ability, you cannot see how your mind become defiled, how it creates negativity or karma, and through that, how suffering comes to be, how you create all the negative tendency, you reap what you sow, do good because good do you. So all this comes from Ming Xing Jian Xing. When you have the mindfulness to realize your true mind, and you know all these are not real, the mundane mind is dependent originating, condition arising, not real. That's why he break free. Yeah. Then finally, when they pour the cup of hot tea on him and burn his finger, he release it. Then that cracking sound trigger the cessation. He said his mind like impoverized. That's why he went into the cessation and he realized the truth. After that, he became enlightened. Then he started to be a blessing to all and benefit. That's how he was called into the palace and all those things. And that's how he helped China to regain back their sovereignty and all those things. That's why he's very famous. And they trusted him to go to Tibet, talk to the Panchen Lama, and bring all the what they call agreement to be part of China, autonomy and all those things, and liberate the Tibetan from all the what they call hardship created by the warlord regime and one of the sect. It seems in Tibet there are two sects according to the Tibetan people when we visit them in our recent trip to China, Shangri-La, Yunnan area. The Tibetan told us they have the Dalai Lama and the Panchen Lama. The Dalai Lama is involved in politics. Whereas the Panchen Lama is not involved in politics, fully spiritual. And it was the Panchen Lama that collaborated with Xu Yin to actually get their emperor to go over to Beijing and sign the treaty. And they get the Chinese government to help them gain back their autonomy and give back the land to the people. That's how the people gain back their life and have very good life. They told us after that it was all the way up all the way beautiful, and they were full of gratitude towards the Chinese Communist Party. So this is what happened. So coming back to her question now, so we finish, you know, what I want you to understand, don't touch psychic. You must develop mindfulness, awareness, and let the mind cease and realize your true mind, which is Huineng's teaching. Take you direct to the true mind. Yeah. Then when you have the mindfulness, you know how to apply Noble Eightfold Path. Then you have right communication, means right view or right understanding leading to right thought, right speech, right action. But now you got email, WhatsApp, and so on. So speech we already mentioned. Yeah? Gentle, pleasant, good, and what type of speech? Beneficial and harmonious speech. That's how bring about harmony. Then action. What type of action? Yeah? What is right action? Whatever that is not negative. Understand? Like your generosity. Understand? Your kindness, your gentleness, your contentment, yeah, your love, your compassion. So when you act out of love, out of compassion, out of sincerity, these are all right action. Understand? No negativity, no greed, no selfishness behind, no delusion behind. Understand? So all your action is to resolve issue amicably for the good of the many, blessing to all. So this is what right action is all about. You are incapable of negativity. Yeah. Then, of course, your right thought, you know. What is right thought? Go back to here. What is right thought? Thought is response to? Memory. So what is right thought? Thought that condition your? Thought that condition your? Fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, scars of memory, phobia, all this. These are all wrong thoughts, understand? Or? Then what is wrong thought? The plug, the PowerPoint. Not charging, I think. So after we know what is wrong thought, it's easy to understand right thought, isn't it? Whatever thought you arise that don't give rise to fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation is right thought, isn't it? So what is right thought? Right thought give rise to joy, understand? Happiness, contentment, inner peace, inner calmness, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, wholesomeness of mind. Understand? So this is how you develop the understanding and put it into practice. So you can relate love and metta to your colleague if he got this negative tendency towards you. It really works, I tell you. When you show your love and metta and you express it sincerely, I tell you, she can feel you. Like last time Ng Bee told us the story. He brought to the office the Malay office colleague because he thought the strawberry. Ng Bee thought, she thought Ng Bee was his immediate boss. He write the what they call evaluation. So he thought Ng Bee wrote a very negative evaluation about him, the appraiser. Then later on he realized, no, it's not that case. Then because Ng Bee got this metta, and at the spur of the moment, he know how to break the ice and tell the colleague, hey, there are strawberries that I brought back from cabinet. Okay. And after that, he respond and he become very different to herself. That's why you must have this type of love, metta. Yeah, he just came back from retreat. So the mind very good. So all this is Dhamma. Can you understand? Tell me. Because I realize you seldom apply. You know a lot of theory. But nobody taught you this. Understand? So a lot of this thing, you want to ask something? Yes.
Like, I remember last time in my ex company, I tried the metta, and then yes, it's some miracle happened. And then at the end, when I left the company, the lady that I feel that he sometimes somehow like wrong lah.
Yeah.
Kind of like. Different. I think she also have the intention to want to make peace.
Yeah.
And then so
no, they can feel you when you have this what they call positive mind state. They can feel you. Well, when you are not happy with somebody, the normal human being, no one, this guy don't like me. They can sense, even your children, oh, you don't have children. So even when your children not happy with you, you will know. And they also will know that you are not happy with them. And that's your parent and all the things. So, there is this, they call inner ability to sense a human being. Yeah. So the next part you have to apply is human behavior. They are just the way. You never apply this. He is the way he is. She is the way she is. So when you understand that, then you will know. You will reflect. It's not him. It's because of delusion, defilement. They become like that. Then you can accept them for what they are. Then you are at peace. Then you won't stir your mind. Your negativity or mind state, your response to all those things, no more. It will cease. You look at it completely different. Then you smile. Okay. Then you say, can you wait till after office hour when I finish my whatever project or what? Then you come and discuss. They will understand us. Then they say, okay, I will not disturb you. Then if you are sincere, they will know. Because the way you approach a thing is different. That's why I told you, you don't give in. No. Sometimes certain people with certain character need to be knocked on. No. Understand? Knock means not really go and knock him. Understand? Knock him means you use certain type of approach. Sometimes you need to raise your voice. You have to raise your voice. Like I told of one engineer from Bangladesh. He actually from a family I didn't know. All the brothers and sisters and the father and the mother all PhD holder. And I didn't know. He was like an engineer sent to my office because they take in this foreign worker. And I know he's still very new, very junior. And he's the only one that just graduated and don't have a master. Then he wanted to take a master. Of course, finally do the PhD. So I didn't know. Then he tried to cheat in the office. Because he's actually, you can call it his good karma, I think. I wouldn't call it bad karma. That project I'm not supposed to be in charge of, no. Because that project more or less finished already towards the end, defect liability period. But the project manager got problem, no. Almost heart attack, no. You know, the pressure too strong, no. So he told the MD, if you don't transfer me out and let me rest, I'm going to resign. Then my MD got no choice. He said, come, do me a favor, take over. I said, no problem. I read up the file, I take over. Then this young engineer from Bangladesh was under this senior project manager. So after he's gone, I took over. And I helped the company to claim extra $40 million during that period. Extra $40 million. And this guy, the good karma, I think, or you can say he's rotten luck that day. I seldom go to the site, you know. But that day I went to the site, you know, he was not there. Then I talked to the clerk, I talked to the technician around me. Then I get the thing done. Then I leave a message with the secretary or the clerk. The site normally is a clerk. I say when he is back, ask him to call me. Wow, he's rotten luck. He whole day didn't come back. Until next morning. The next morning, the clerk warned him, you die already. You ini kali sudah mati. Itu HQ ya, senior manager, Mr. Teo datang. Someone never mind. No. Give him the instruction to call me back. He never call back. No. Then I tell my secretary, no, every hour give a call. Is he back? And he didn't know I did that. No. The next day, he dare to pretend. No. He called me out. Say, Mr. Teo, it seems you came yesterday. I say, yeah. Where were you? I say, oh, I got something urgent. I say, yeah. But I came back early. I say, you better make sure you are telling me the truth. I say, the last thing that I can tolerate is people lying to me. I say, he said, don't worry, don't worry. I come to your office. And he come and he tried to lie. You know. So when I told him what I did, what my secretary did, he was very angry. You know. Oh, you track me like that. You spy on me. You do all these things to me. Do you know what my family background is? Oh, then he started to tell me his father PhD, his mother PhD, his brother, sister all PhD. Oh, I said, nothing to do with you there. You still haven't have your master. I know he was applying for a master degree in Singapore. So finally, luckily, I helped to change his CV and he got the job. He got the offer. Then after that, he was full of gratitude towards me. There's like some people, if they have this tendency, you have to tell them off. Understand? But I speak in a very nice way. I only raise my tone. Well, initially, I said, where did you go? Then he said, oh, I got something urgent. That's why, okay, I say. Then you come to the office, we talk. Then after that, I say, I reminded him, if you lie, you are going to get it. Then after that, he didn't expect me to ask my secretary to call every hour until 6 p.m. No? That's why he cannot call that day. Then after that, he got no more defense. He get angry and bring out his family, all those things. I say, okay, now your problem is still a problem. I got two choices for you. I'm going to write in all this. HR take disciplinary action against you. If you admit, I will give you a chance. What did you actually do? Then only he told me. He said he thought the job towards the end, really, nothing important. So actually he went off. And don't know what he do. He just wouldn't tell me. He just said, I admit my mistake. He said, that's it. I say, it's a good start. What I want you to do is be sincere, truthful, and make sure you deliver. I say, then you know what happened. I promise you, he said, from tomorrow onward, every day I come office before 9. Go back after office after 7. Otherwise, I won't. I promised to give him a chance. I said, okay, I will ask my secretary to monitor you. After that, he really changed. He became so different now. At first, he very difficult to deal with. This time, you know, Bangla, the way they talk was so different. So this is what they call right communication, understand human behavior, and respect them for what they are. Understand? But when you need to discipline them, when you need to take action, you have to take action. The human being is that way. Some need to be reprimanded, only they are willing to change. Some you need to catch them red-handed, only they are willing to change. The other one, which I told you all last time in the university, you know, one of the technicians, he's very skillful in carpentry, but he's very lazy. Lazy not because he's lazy. We have their salary not enough. They at night go to work pasar malam. Need supplementary income. So he pasar malam by the time he finish, it's almost midnight. Go back, sleep, not many hours, very tired. Next morning, wake up, come to office also late. Then all the assignment give to him. My TA tell me, Tio, you don't give this technician to me, no use. You give me like, I don't have a technician. He never do his work. All the work he pile out, he come, he sleep. Oh, okay, I say. I want to see him tomorrow, I say. I will assign to you, I say. Then I purposely went to his office together, 10 something morning, 10:30. And caught him sleeping at there, behind the lecture theater there, somewhere quiet place. Where they store their thing, snoring there, you know. Then I told my TA, I said, give him a call, wake him up. So when my TA wake him up, he got angry. You don't know I'm sleeping, I said. Then the TA said, bukan ayah. Boss panggil, engineer sudah sampai. Oh, he panic. He straight away panic. You know. Then he look around, he saw me. You know. Then immediately plead to me and say sorry. I say, okay. Jangan takut. I say, sit down. I say, I want to know, why did you sleep? Why are you so tired? And then he told me his story. I say, I understand. You have to do this. But I cannot tolerate people who lie and don't tell me the truth. And every time I do this, I say, work is work. If you deliver your work, I can be flexible. If you are tired, you rest, you sleep. But after that, when you have enough rest, you better do things faster, understand? As long as you finish up your job, I can be flexible. I tell you, he was full of gratitude, you know, after that. Because he realized I'm not going to report him. He's not going to lose his job. And he's been given a second chance. That's why after that, my TA told me, oh, Mr. Teo, I said, this type of guy also you can turn him around. See? It's how you approach them. Don't hurt them. Give them a chance. But I don't mean to ask you to apply the same way because different people are different. You have to see the condition. Some you need to talk very nicely. Some you need to understand them. How are you today? Your mood doesn't look good. And then let them tell you the story. When you are a willing listener, it becomes different. They know this boss understand and care. And the rumors start now. Because some of these workers, I got 800 workers and laborers under me that time. They all very poor. So they come and seek my signature for support. They apply for low-cost house. They apply for their children's, don't know what, biasiswa, what for the school. And they came to realize the previous boss, all the support signing, no effect on. But this one, they say, ini engineer banyak ong. All of them almost got good response. No? Until they themselves come and thank me in the office. No? He said, Cik, you banyak ong. Bukan I saja. I said, banyak pekerja. I said, semua dapat sokongan dari you. Semua almost get good positive response and result. Oh, I said, your good karma. But they cannot understand. So I said, pahala you bagus. You know what is pahala, no? Good karma. Then they believe in all these things, pahala. They got two words, pahala and dosa. You know what is pahala? Merit, wholesomeness. Then dosa is evil. So I said, develop pahala more. I said, then everything will go your way. That's why after that they like me and they have a lot of faith. So it's your approach with understanding. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. So human behavior, now you know. Accept them for what they are. But human being is just the way they are. People with weird character. That's why different people, you need different approach, different response. That's why I say wisdom is not rigid. I cannot teach you how to be wise. But everyone is different. Their karmic background, their behavior, their conditioning, their mind state, everything is different. So you cannot be rigid and apply the same rule. Oh, right till last time shave like that, I'm going to reprimand this fellow the same way. I tell you, different character, you get backfire. It's not the way. Because you have to have this understanding, ability to sense them and know what is appropriate for them. Certain people need to be knocked. You know, certain people, you need to talk to them nicely, approach them appropriately with the right understanding. But noble is for power help. So if you have deal with right communication, right human behavior, then it is coming. That's why you have right view, you will know how to attend to it. Understand not? Then how to apply the Dhamma, noble is for power. Okay? So noble eightfold path is not so simple, I tell you. That's why this is the real meditation, life itself. you cannot manifest this understanding of having right view to accept the reality of the moment. Means you do not react, get angry, emotional, and stir your mind. Means the evil roots are not there. When you can accept, means you are at peace. At peace through what? Through wisdom, right view. If it's due to karmic in the past, then, like I shared on Tuesday, the past condition, the present, you have to accept. This is the reality. You reap what you sow. In the past, you could have done certain things to people. Now condition ripen, it happened. Accept. Don't get angry. Don't become fearful, emotional. Well, all this will not help you. So when you accept, you are at peace. You have clarity. Then you do what you have to do to resolve it amicably. Means what? I need to repent. I repent. I need to ask for forgiveness. I ask for forgiveness. I need to develop further understanding through mindfulness of what I developed. Then I need to approach a situation with Noble Eightfold Path. I apply and resolve things amicably so that no coming negativity, nothing. Then the complete training is there. That's why finally, without Noble Eightfold Path, you can't deal with life, you can't deal with situation, you can't develop the peacefulness of mind, the understanding, and you cannot be a blessing to all. No way. So this is the beauty of the Buddha Dhamma, the beauty of the teaching. It not only gives you understanding, wisdom, it allows you to free your mind, to be a blessing to all, to develop the clear understanding and the joy. That's why true emptiness is wonderful existence. Exactly 10:30, Oh yeah, the clock also exact, So everything also exact, Question also very good, Let us thank Tammy for the good question. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I realize the application part is more important because a lot of cultivators, I realize, they never go into the second turning. And they never go into the third turning to put it into practice. They only listen, get the knowledge, then they think they know. Cultivator need to go into the second turning, reflect, contemplate, inquire until very, very clear. Then patipati, put it into practice, cultivation. The real cultivation, not the theory part. Because pariyati is just the learning of the teaching, you haven't put it into practice. Then you put it into practice, patipati. And then when you awaken, you receive the fruit, pativeda, the third phase of Dhamma. That's how you move. And the second phase of Dhamma, to put it into practice, is not easy. That's why the three turning, you have to go through them. So I rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us share merits and transfer merits. Akasatta ca bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva cirang rakhantu lokasasana itta watta caamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena bhame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.
just have enjoyed Sabu Shri time to thank Bhajio and Bhajio for coming to this Dhamma Shari on Sankota.
Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.
Thank you for always inviting us to come to the house for the Dhamma Shari.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu to all of you for coming to the Dhamma session. That's why we are here. Okay, not to be here.
For those who have not received the new book, lesson 75 of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta transcript, there are some copies here. You can have them. Okay. Yeah. This Sunday is the final summary where we will wrap up the Six Patriarch Sutta. It's like a final discussion on the whole of the Six Patriarch Sutta. So you can come, you should come. Well, normally the final summary is very good. Last time the Satipatthana Sutta, so I remember, the whole of the cultivation and the teaching just come out during the final summary. Okay.